with everyone. And the song we want to sing with everyone today, it's Hosanna. And I know probably sung it in English, but this song is, we're going to sing it in Chinese today. And the first and second verses of the song, actually we'll talk about the second verse of the song first. I'm going to share why I want to share
the song.
Second verse says, I see a generation rising up to take their place. Our theme today is missions, and God is raising up the generation. God is raising up the people to win the land for Christ. And I think this theme is something that God has really placed on my heart, which I'll share a little bit about later. But it's amazing to see God's work. It's amazing to see God change our hearts. It's amazing to see God raise up a generation to win the world for Christ. So, I'm going to start. English or Chinese. Thank you. So the verse to the song says, heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. I think that's one of the things we always learn when we step out of our comfort zone to serve God. It's always, we run into difficult situations where it's really hard to love those people that God wants us to love. Sometimes it's those that we're serving. Maybe it's the kids in Taiwan. Or sometimes it's just our teammates or our family members. And so I think that's one of the big things that God's been teaching us. Show us how to love like you've loved us. I'll use this mic.
So this is Bridge.
Father, just thank you for letting us have this day to worship you and praise you, Lord. And just, I pray that your glory may be shown to us, Lord. And just we lift this day up to you, Lord. And just, I hope that what we had to say can glorify you, Lord. Just, I pray that the congregation can hear what we had to say. They can hear our passion. They can hear our love for you and love for these kids, Lord. And just, I pray that each one of us can just feel the Holy Spirit working in us, Lord, and just, I pray for this day, and pray that you can bless each and every one of us, Lord, every single one of us that are listening to us, that are sharing, that are just serving, playing music, Lord, and just pray that you may bless each and every one of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. So today we're going to start out with a couple sharing. today's sharing, we're going to start out with a couple. Oh, there you are. A couple of sharings from the CYIA camp. We had a group go to Taiwan for short-term missions, but we also had lots of young people here serving in the CYIA. I went with a couple years ago. They work so hard. They get up really early and they stay up preparing for the next day, and they're serving kids here in the Kansas City area. They'll share a little bit about it. But every time I when I went to see what they had to do, I was really 感动. It really touched me, and just their willingness to sacrifice and pour out to these kids. So, who's first? How do you do?
Okay, so for all of you who still don't know what CYIA is, it's Christian Youth in Action, where a lot of the youth from our church, we go to urban Kansas City areas where we teach. It's a children's ministry, so we go out and teach the children about who Jesus is. We have something called a 5-day club where we go and there's a club where we have a Bible lesson, we share about missions, and then we give out prizes and stuff to all the kids because they live in pretty impoverished areas, and that's basically what we do for 3 weeks. So this year it was my fourth year doing CYIA, so I'm kind of a veteran now. So it's kind of up to me and Stella to be the leaders, to lead all the other people, and to make sure everything's going smoothly, and just pray and asking God for helping us on our way. And one of the things I pray for the most from God being a leader is that we would have team unity, because it's not one person going out, it's a whole team, and we have to stick together and make sure each of us are keeping each other accountable and making sure that we're working well together as a team, because that's how we outreach to the children. And every day at CYIA, every single morning, Andy and Julie would have us read Bible verses, and we would reflect on what we learned, and we read mostly from the book of Galatians. And one thing that struck out the most to me was Galatians 1:10. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And this spoke out to me because CYIA is always about even at camp is always about teaching a good Bible lesson, be fun with the kids, being able to connect with the kids, but there's always a person that's judging you when you teach. Andy Julie, when we taught, she would just have a clipboard, she would write down all the notes, she's like, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right. But it's not really, I feel like it's about it's not about preparing the Bible lesson so that Andy Julie wouldn't go after you when we eat lunch. It's about preparing our Bible lesson well so that the kids will be able to listen and to be able to understand fully what you wanted them to learn. And when we taught the kids there, it's usually in pretty poor areas, in apartment complexes, and then we went to a few daycares, but it's mostly kids that they don't really have a lot, and they really need someone to share God's love with them. And I feel like even though they don't have a lot, they listen. When you teach them, it feels like they're not really listening to you. They're just going crazy. They're not very disciplined, I guess. But in the end, when you ask them the review game questions, they answer the questions right, and you know that God's still doing work in them. And because of how poor or unfortunate their circumstances are, it reminds us that we really are blessed, especially the kids at our church, because they're blessed, but then they're worse than the kids there because they don't listen to anything. And I feel like we need to stop spoiling our kids. So, also at when we had youth group on Friday, we listened to Pastor Todd Cook in New Mexico. We always watch his stuff, and then he had a really good message about love. And we also read about love in Galatians. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And the first thing that Paul writes is the first one he writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So I think love is the most important thing, because we need to show God's love to these kids. Because some of these kids, they might not understand what the Bible lesson really means. They might not understand the bigger picture of what Jesus did for them. But if you show them God's love, then they can understand it. And like, I think that's the most important part. And our driver, Mrs. Bradfield, is she here today? No, I don't think she's here today. But Mrs. Bradfield, I think she's a really good example of like showing God's love to these children. Because we met this Asian, Afro-Asian family in our second wave of clubs, and they were really, really poor. And we saw this one girl. We noticed she wore the same clothes every single day. So Auntie Julie had us all like bring clothes that we could give to them, because she was wearing the same, like, this long sleeve shirt every single day, and so we brought clothes for her. But Miss Bradfield, she like went one step further, and she found the older sister of the family, and she took her Saturday after we were done, because we finished on Friday, but Saturday morning she went back and she took the older sister with her to go shopping for more clothes. And I think that's a really good example of showing God's love to the kids, because that's what they understand. And I also learned that while teaching, it's not through our own strength. Everything is through God's strength when we teach. Because, like, in past years, I feel like when I wake up, I'd be like, oh, I'm so tired. And, like, because it really is tiring to work. You wake up really early, and you get back, like, home really late. But this year, I feel like every morning I wake up, and I just feel like I didn't feel tired at all. And then on Saturday, I couldn't even wake up. I was just like, and my mom was, like, shaking me. She's like, wake up, Sky. I was like, oh. And so I just feel like that's really God's strength is just working through us, and everything we do is through God, and that's how we outreach to the children. It's not through our own strength.
Well, hello, my name is Kevin. Many of you guys may not know of me because I'm not from around here. I'm actually from California and Southern California. Now, you might wonder why I would just come all the way over here just to teach kids from CYIA. Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't even find out about it until about 2 months ago when it was already past the deadline for going to CYIA, for all this stuff. But I was told of CYIA and by my aunt, Auntie Julie, and she really is my aunt. So, yeah, she told me about this, and I was thinking about it, but there's still all these other options I had. I still could have done all these different jobs and stuff, so I was still applying for jobs. I probably applied for 30 different job applications, and none of them answered back. So maybe God was telling me that He wanted me to go to CYIA. So I decided to go to CYIA, but it wasn't really because of this. It was more because I wanted to get away from my parents. It's a lot of times I feel like, oh, it's too much. I'm having too much trouble with my parents. It's too much stress. Let's get away from my parents a little bit. So I went and decided to go to Kansas to learn. Now, the camp there was pretty rough. It was about the first week. It was really, really tiring because it was like Bible lessons, learning about Bible lessons every single day, 24 hours a day. It feels like you're just exhausted. After like the second day, you just want to sleep in till about 12 o'clock. But you had to work. So I learned how to teach the kids, and it was really, really interesting. And my first week there, we had 2 weeks there. The first week is to learn. Second week, you start learning how to use. Go and teach one of the camps. Now, my first camp, it was they said this was the hardest camp of all of them, and if you can teach this camp, you can teach all of them. Great way to be a first year with two other people that like never taught before. It was pretty rough. The kids were sort of wild. There's a lot of them that did not get any attention at home. Some of them didn't even know their last names. And so it was really rough, and it was like really sad, and it showed how fortunate we are. Sometimes we just don't appreciate it, and we should really appreciate of what we have. And so God was telling me how we should be really appreciative, and we should help other people. And it really was a nice feeling to actually save one of the people. Now, this kid, he had been going there, I guess, for 3 or 4 years now, but he still had not received Jesus as his Savior. But after many times, I think it's sometimes the people that have gone there, they see this kid and they just realize, oh, he just comes back here just to talk about something else. But after a while talking back to him, then you learn, you just have to like ease into the conversation about Jesus. And afterwards, you learn that he really wanted to hear about it. But his first question to me was talking about whether or not about heaven, whether or not he could see his family in heaven. And when I talked about that, and he said yes, and I told him that he could, if they were believers, that really moved him, and that really helped him believe in Jesus. And that helped a lot. Now, these 3 weeks at CYA, there was many other people that needed to hear about Jesus, and I was able to help save at least 6 other people. And it really helped tell me that God has a plan for me. He really changed my direction of where I was going to do, what I was going to do for the summer. And he helped me change so I could help tell these people about Christ. Now, it wasn't just saving people, it was also assuring people that helped. Because many people, they have questions like we do. They have questions like, how were we created? What was going to happen at the end of time? And all these other things about Jesus or about the world, about them, how they came to be. And there are questions just like we have. And so they may be small, but they have these questions just like us. And so just to go back out there to tell them about Jesus and tell them about what I've learned has really helped me to know that God, he will always have a plan for us, and how he loves every one of us, and how he wants to help us. So just remember, God, he always has a plan for us, and we should tell other people about him and remember that he always loves us.
The rest of the sharing is about Hualien's short-term mission trip. I'm going to be here to give you an overview. I don't have control. There you go. Okay, before I give you the overview, this is before we go out, we have some kind of pre-trip expectation. And back in my own mind, I think we're not going to be able to do too much in about 10 days to 2 weeks. So this is the verse that's been in my heart. This is the prayer of Jabez. I think our church, our family, on and off, we have used this prayer to pray about the mission that we're going to have. We can read it together. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. The main thing is, over the years we've been praying that, okay, our ministry is kind of limited. And if God can expand the territory that we have, and this is exactly when I thought about the Hualien mission, because there are things that the Vina Carissa can do, but then it's a little bit limited, and we're not going to be able to reach the children like in a day or in a week or so. So hopefully we can expand that territory a little bit, and I think that God had answered our prayer. The request has been granted. This is the map of what we have done. Let's see, this is it. Right. This is where Hualien is. If you're not from Taiwan, you may not know the area. This is where we are based on when we get there. And there are 3 different places that we went to. On the first week, we basically went to this city. The closest city is Fengling. And there's a village about 10 minutes away called Sanxing, and that's where we stay. And it really is a very small village. And that's what we do 5 days, 4 full days. In the morning, we will stay there and teach there. And then on Friday, we actually went out with the kids, with the children to the beach to swim in the Pacific Ocean, or is it Atlantic Ocean? Whatever. Whatever that ocean is, we were swimming over there. Pacific, okay, thank you. Okay, then in the afternoon we will travel about, well, from Hualien to Shanxing is about 40 minutes to an hour drive. And then from this place, we go down to Hongye. It's a little village in the city of Lui Sui. So this is about like 30 minutes, 40 minutes drive. So in the afternoon, we will go over here and teach the little kids there. So at night, we will go back to the city here and then have dinner, like in the city, and then we will go back to the Shanxing village to live there. I am sure there will be more sharing about this later on. So this is for the first week. And then the second week, we only have 2 days because of some schedule problem we had. So for 2 days, we will live here in this city called Guangfu. There's a, I don't think it's an orphanage, it's a, kind of like a place where they take the delinquent juveniles there to teach them. So it's called Xingwang Ai, or Faith, Hope, and Love. And that's all boys only. There's about 50 students there that we can reach. The reason I said that we asked God to expand the territory, like I have been to Xingwang Ai for 2 times previously when I visited Davina and Carissa, but I only get to talk to like 3 or 4 boys and we just play with them. But this time I think we reached to all 50 of them. I mean, we don't talk to them, but I think next time I go, I can just pick anybody and just start talking to them. They will know for sure who I am because they remember I'm the email, you know, the 电子邮箱, the email. So I think that's really is helping a lot. So these are the 3 cities that we went to, and next we will have the video to show, and then after that we'll have the sharing about this, all these little different cities. There's a video, click on the video on the bottom.
Yeah, father. 拯救了我，来恍惚。 I have a few pictures. Can you cut? Oh, yeah. Okay. So I haven't been here for a really long time, just so if, for those who don't know me, I'm Kelly, and I went on this mission trip, not with everybody else, but I went about a month ahead of time. So I got to Taiwan around like the third week of May, like May 23rd, and I was there for about a month, just doing volunteering and other kinds of mission work around the county. But I have a lot to share, but I'm just going to share on a few points that God has really kind of just like pounded into me the past month and a half. And particularly, I'm going to talk about prayer and faith. So there's one really big thing that I learned this summer, and it's that, you know, the old, you know, when they say, ask and you shall receive, and there's a verse that most everybody knows, but it's Psalm 3, 5 through 6, and it's trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. And so a really big thing I learned about praying was that God really does answer prayers. And I'm just going to share a few stories that happened to me while I was in Taiwan. And so one of the stories was I went to a small village called Mayan with an organization called the Woodpecker Organization, and they just do a whole bunch of outreach to indigenous tribes and things like that. And this is a lake, not a lake, this is a river that comes down from the mountain, and it forms this nice-looking pool that you can swim in, you can climb up those rocks over there, you can do a lot of stuff. And so one of the days, we went swimming, and I have glasses. And if you flip to the next picture, that's, okay, that's not me. I'm up there, but that's Steven. And he's trying to dive, but he's not really getting that worked out that well. But I jumped off that tall rock right there with my glasses in my pocket. And I, like, zipped my pocket up and everything like that, and I was like, okay, I'm fine. I jump off, I come back up, and my glasses aren't there. And I'm like, I was about to cry, because the year before, I lost my glasses in another lake. And so I was like, I already lost one glasses in a big thing of water, and I can't lose these glasses too. And I just, like, I just got my glasses that year, and I knew, like, if I came home and my glasses are gone, my mom was just going to be like, what on earth did you do in Taiwan? And so I was about to break down, because I was just, like, miserable, and I didn't know what to do. And if you go to the next picture, that's me crying, pretty much. And to make things worse, that's Krista and our friend Jennifer. I was hopping rocks, and I jumped off that rock, and I tried to jump onto the rock next to it. But it didn't really work out that well, and my hand, like, slammed into the rock as I was, like, gripping it. And so I had this gigantic bruise. So that's, like, me crying because of the pain, and me crying because I don't have glasses anymore. And if you go back to the picture before this, I went back up, and I sat on that rock, and I moped there. I just, like, sat up there and, like, thought about all the sad things that could happen without my glasses. And, like, I came down once, and I swam around, and I was looking for my glasses, but I couldn't see anything. All I could see was water and, like, these dark rocks there. And it's actually really beautiful. When the sun's out, like, you can see, like, 5-6 feet deep down, and, like, it's really, really cool. But this is almost towards dark, and we have about half an hour of light left. And so I go back up there, and I'm just, like, moping, and I forget to pray to God. And so, like, I'm like, I should pray about it. And so I pray about it. I pray to God really hard. I'm like, God, just please give me my glasses back. I really want to keep my glasses. And I hate wearing contacts. So I was just like, I don't want to wear contacts for that. My bad. So I prayed up there, and then I jumped back off, and then I just kind of went away. And then Stephen Jennifer brought goggles, so she gave them to Stephen. Stephen was helping me look for my glasses because he can see and I can't. And so he's like jumping off this this rock over and over again because I just like, well, we were both up there. And I like pointed somewhere in the water. I was like, I jumped right there. And he's like, okay. So he's jumping off of there. He's like jumping for the past 20 minutes. And he goes up there and then like right, Davina went to get us food. Right before she comes, Stephen jumps off there. And then, he's not diving like this though, he jumps off with his feet. And then, I hear a yell, and he yells towards me, and he's like, Kelly, I found your glasses. I'm like, how did you find my glasses? And he's like, I found them with my feet. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, there's no way you found my glasses, and like, without searching for it. Like, he jumped where I told him to jump. And he, first thing he touched when he touched the ground in the bottom were my glasses. And I was like, there's absolutely no way you got my glasses with your feet. Like, think about it. And I was just like, I thought about it, and then I just like, I gave a short prayer and just like, praise God. I was like, oh my God, thank you, God, for getting my glasses back. And yeah. So that's just like one of the small things that happened. Another small thing was one day before church. This is my wallet in Taiwan. It's a Domo, and it has a big face on it, for those who don't know. And I lost it, like, the night before, and then in the morning, we're like, I can't find my wallet. And I just went to the bank. I had, like thousands of NT in it, which is, like, a couple hundred dollars. And I was just, like, freaking out because, like, I just exchanged money. I'm going to lose, like, a couple hundred dollars. I was like, this would happen to me. I'm so bad at this. And, like, I was just like, I didn't know what to do. And so we went to church. We went to breakfast. Davina and I went to breakfast. She prayed for me. She's like, God, just please help Kelly find his wallet. And then nothing happened. We went to church. And at church, we prayed about it. Everybody prayed for me. We were like, just help Kelly find his wallet. He went to the bank. And, like, he has all this money in it. And, like, God, we know that, like, he needs, like, he doesn't have enough money without that. And so nothing happened after church, and I was just sad because I didn't know what to do. And we went to lunch, and then at lunch we were all sitting down, and we all prayed for food. And we were like thanking God for food, and then we finished praying for my wallet too. And then Davina looks at me and she's like, did you ever pray for your wallet? And I thought about it, and like, morning, Davina prayed for me. At church, everybody prayed for me. At lunch, everybody prayed for me. But I didn't pray for myself. And I was like, I thought about it, I was like, I didn't really pray. I was like, okay. So I sat down and prayed, and I was like, God, just come through for me. I know you can do it. And as soon as I finished my prayer, I get a phone call. I didn't get a phone call. Davina got a phone call from Tori, who is her, essentially, roommate. She lives with Tori. And Tori was like, I found a brown bag with a big face on it. And I was like, and Davina was like, you mean Domo? And she's like, oh, that's what it's called. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And it turns out her small child, her baby, Jia Jia, had found her wallet, my wallet, playing around. And I was just like, it didn't come to me until I actually prayed for it. And I was absolutely amazed. I guess, like, another thing, a lot of things involved me losing things, but another thing was, it was really stupid, but I was at the airport, and I was in my gate, and I was about to take off, and we were like, it was time to board, and we started boarding, and I got on the plane, took off, I was heading for Japan. And then I realized I left my friend's camera in a terminal. And I was taking pictures, and I just forgot it there. And, like, I freaked out again because it's like a $500 camera. It's not mine either. My friend lent it to me for 2 months. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what do I do? I did it again. I lost something else. And, like, when I realized that, I was in panic mode. And then, like, this has happened to me so much in Taiwan that, like, I immediately just, like, I calmed down and I just prayed to God. And I prayed earnestly, and I asked him, you know, like, just to keep it safe. And, like, 30 minutes later, after I had talked to flight attendants and everything like that, I got a notice from the flight attendant. She's like, "We found a camera, but I left it in my camera bag, so I wasn't sure if it was mine or not." And then I gave her like all my information, my passport number, Devine and Chris's cell phone number, and everything like that. And then she came back another 20 minutes later, and she's like, "Actually, there was a black camera bag with it, with a black camera that matched everything that you said it would match." And I was like, "Oh my God, thank you so much." And like, after a lot of hassle and stuff like that, thank God for Chris and Davina, because they went through like so many hoops. They spent like hours talking to like Lost and Found and stuff like that, and I got my camera back. And like, I know these stories sound really silly, but like every single time that I prayed for God to deliver, God delivered on His promise. And it just really goes to show like how far prayer can go, and it really goes to show like how far having faith in God goes. And like every time I prayed, actually, like I ceased to worry. Like God just kind of like eased the pain in my heart and eased the worry in my heart, and I didn't worry anymore. Like after I prayed, I was perfectly fine. And then I just kind of waited on God, and God delivered every single time. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. I think I ran out of time. I'm close to it. So, yeah. That's it.
All right, good morning. As everybody knows, I'm Timothy Lee, but before I begin, I'm actually sharing on behalf of my best friend, Stephen Yu. He also went on this trip, and so this is his testimony. "To brothers and sisters in Kansas City, I hope this finds you in high spirits and healthy constitution. I would like to share a personal story of growth and discovery, but the purpose of my story is not to proclaim discovery, for I am not a science convention. Instead, I am trying to share some encouragement in God and His strength. I don't believe that I want to go to Taiwan. I was definitely roped into it. And furthermore, I was forced into painstakingly memorize, translate, and memorize again in Chinese a Bible story, which message I really didn't even know about. I went to Taiwan with the hell unsure of what I was teaching and unprepared for how I would teach it. This led to a bitter heart. Furthermore, I had to travel my first 24 hours and two flight changes all alone, facing Taiwanese customs with little experience of procedures. I managed to pass through this cleanly, although I realize now that God sent me an angel to guide me, and that's all I have to say about that. God gave me 1 week in Taiwan to learn Chinese and become accustomed to the weather. He also helped my spirit by sending my father to help me through my burdens. I made it to Hualien happier to have come to Taiwan. The next week in Hualien was quite stressful in preparation to teach. We taught in two villages in Hualien. We stayed overnight for an entire week at a missions house in one of the villages. My story really begins here. The house functions as an internet cafe for the village. In the first night we were there, several boys were actually at the house and they were playing internet games. It reminded me of myself and how much I play games, and I felt really in sync with the boys. That night at the missions house, I was thrown to Taiwan to teach, and teach I would. I went almost directly into the room that the boys were playing in and talked to them. It was just small talk, the best that I could manage in Chinese, but it loosened them up. And that night, they wanted to play with us, so they captured a bunch of insects and created a small torture zone. I was scared out of my mind. Well, God broke the wall between the boys and our group, and I believe that because of that night of terror, we were more effective in our pursuit to connect and teach these children. God used me, the person on the team with the worst Chinese and social application of said Chinese, to be the first to talk to these kids and break their hearts. On the missions trip to Taiwan, I learned that people are not really all that powerful, and I broke my fear of communication with people. That has a lot to do with the angel mentioned in paragraph 2, though. That's beside the point. God provided words for me to use and a brain to process the correct words. God is known as a great provider, and that name was really revealed to me on this trip. Thank you. So, on this mission trip, Stephen went on, and I went on, and both of us really didn't know that we were going to go on this trip. We were both really reluctant, and we're like, I'd rather, you know, stay home and sleep and play video games because it's my last summer before college, right? But in countless of ways, I felt like I was blessed in this year, and I felt like, you know, I felt like I had to go on this trip now because Uncle Emil kept nagging me about it, and I said yes like 5 months ago, and so I had to go. That's okay. That's okay. I learned a lot on this trip. And so I'd like to share one of the ways that this Taiwan trip impacted me in my growth in Christ. And there's two memories that I have. And I felt like these two memories involved me reverting to my old self, where sometimes I get really negative, or sometimes I feel, you know, like everything sucks. And so, you know, and sometimes it's like I have it secretly in my heart, you can't even tell. But like randomly, I say something mean to you, and you're like, dude, that's so mean. And so that was me. And I would like to share that. And I would like to share the lesson of me, God teaching me to let go of my old self. And so the first experience I would like to share is that at Hongye Village, the village we taught at in the afternoon, there's always like these little grade school girls, right? And they don't like me. I don't know why. And so like they just don't like guys. So every single time I like try to talk to them, they're like, go away, right? And then they'll be like, dude, you're fat. And I was like, no, I'm not fat. I just had a bad 4 years of high school where I didn't exercise. And then my grandma told me I was getting fatter too. So I was like, it's so sad. So that kind of like, you know, like it's not like making me mad, but like it was in my heart and kind of made me a little bitter, I guess. So, but that's okay. And then later that day, I went to a small village on a tiny hill. It's called Xiao Ma Yuan. And it was here that I met the two sweetest girls. And personally, I think they're like little angels because they're just that sweet. And I don't even know their names. And I'm just like walking down towards them. And they just got back from the summer school, I think. And like we're just like walking down. I'm about to meet them. And they just like open their eyes wide. And I'm like, oh, wow, how swell. And I'm like, yes, yes. And so right there, I felt like all my negativity just, you know, disappear. And it's amazing how God can use just these simple things to help me just refocus on Him. And so, so that's my first experience. My second experience took place at Faith, Love, and Hope, the boys' home that Uncle Emil talked about, where all these kids who couldn't, like, the government moved them out of their houses so that they had to be at the school and, you know, be, like, disciplined and stuff, rehab, stuff like that. And so, it was the first day, it was a Monday, and the previous day, it was a rough Sunday, and I wasn't feeling that good. I was pretty down. I was feeling like I needed to be refueled, re-energized. And thankfully, God allowed me to interact with these kids, these teenagers, and we just played some downright basketball in the rain. And so, what we did, we just like take off our shoes, take off our socks, and then we get the basketball, and like it doesn't even bounce. So like half the time we're like running around with the basketball and we're like shooting, and like every time we shoot, we're like, Kobe Bryant, right? And then we'd be like, Samara, and it's just like so funny. And I felt like the mix of hearing the teachers calling us in because it's raining, telling us we have to go in and stop staying outside and playing basketball, and the fact that, you know, basketball was so free, so free-spirited, and I felt like I was able to get accepted by these teenagers, these delinquents, or these misfits, and I felt like, you know what, sometimes I feel like a misfit too, and it felt really great to interact with these kids, and I felt like it relieved all my stress and all my bitterness, and it allowed me like to let go of my old self and just focus on God. So I guess what it means to let go, sometimes everybody tells you, know, 0% me, 100% God, casting all your cares upon Jesus and never worrying again. And I guess that's true sometimes, but in my case, I felt like it more meant directing my attention away from all the negativity and simply letting God's glory shine, especially in the simple things, and encompass me through His grace, and reminding me that in all things, there's always God's glory to be acknowledged, or Satan's trap to be ensnared by. And so I figured, you know, the choice is always mine. It's either I let myself be drowning in negativity, having a bad attitude, or just letting go of it all, just letting God take control of my life. Because we all know God is a provider, and it's my job to reach out to Him. And so I have a verse to share, and it's actually one of my favorite verses, and my best friend Steven, he was the one actually that shared it to me when my first year of CYIA, I think. And it's in Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And so it's an important lesson that I keep learning, and I'm still trying to learn as I head off to college, that I need to rely on God's power to guide me and to not focus on myself, not like, you know, pity myself, be bitter all the time, and to rely on God's power to guide me in the path of righteousness and integrity, and that just let go of myself. And whenever you do that, at least to me, I feel like it feels great. And so that's my sharing of Taiwan. Thank you very much.
对我来讲，话很感谢，我自己一直是用那种参与者的家长血缝的字句，不敢说自己是去短宣，因为到原住民的部落，到那个信望爱男孩之家短宣，对我都像是巨人。我像那个十二个要去那个到加南美地的探子，那十个一样很胆小的，我觉得说不知道自己能够做什么，然后面对如此强大的巨人，又看我们仓促成军的队伍，实在是心里有说不出的不安，不知道神在这件事上会要给我们什么功课。我记得第一天我们到三星的时候，就发现那些孩子态度是很皮，也很不太那个。当在户外上英文的时候还好，等到室内要用中文讲圣经的故事，我们就会碰到难处。我的儿子 Timothy 是第一个上阵的，他就因为孩子态度不好，他就骂孩子了，吓得我魂飞魄散了。后来事后我跟他讨论，我跟他交通，他说爱爱爱，你们这些女生就只会讲爱，难道神就没有管教的一面吗？我说我们来这儿不是来管教他们。德布纳还安慰我说，当他看到 Timothy 生气的时候，他很感动，因为他是心里为这些孩子着急，希望他们能够学好。那相对来讲的话，那些女孩子她们的柔软度非常的高。我记得为了要破冰的，就是改善那个关系的时候，她们和孩子玩那个手抓手的游戏，如果你输的人就要被打手背。有一个 Katie 姊妹，一个美国姊妹，她抢着去玩，其实她不该去玩。为什么？她有一个 autoimmune disease， 就是她自己的免疫系统会攻击她自己的身体，她身上有好多的血点。我知道男孩玩起来的时候是很不留情的，打人也很打很用力的，所以当他打下去了，知道我就知道他身上会出血点，他应该是最清楚他自己的状况，但他毫不保护自己，抢着去跟那些男孩子玩，自己我看的是一边很心疼，一天只能提醒那些男孩子，你们打下去不要打那么用力。然后第二天要玩破冰游戏的时候，迪宾娜叫大家玩水枪打水仗，你们刚才也看到那个很多的那个照片，两三下那水枪就坏了，你看小孩子马上就去拿吃饭的碗就要去盛水。我发现那些男孩子啊，已经有意把所有泼水攻击的目标全集中在迪维塔身上，甚至有孩子就找了脸盆来盛水。我赶忙去拦阻他们，不可以，但那个水已经泼出来，那因为我的拦阻，所以整盆水都是一面就泼到我身上，后来脸盆也摔坏了。他们还不停止，结果就全部要用去那个水管来喷呀，所以我看到就是说，你知道吗？如果喷在我身上的水是一脸盆的水，你们就可以看到刚才的照片，泼在迪文娜身上是十倍、二十倍，因为脸盆也摔坏了，他们要用水管直接来喷的时候，我就极力拦阻说不可以浪费水，这样他们才作罢。 赫迪曼还笑嘻嘻跟我说：“Andy，我知道你不喜欢我们浪费水用水管来喷水，但是你不觉得我们这样和孩子之间又破冰了不少？”我看他一眼，我没有说话，心里在想：我不是心疼那个水，我是心疼你。你作为一个老师，你不是应该拿着小提琴，应该很优雅的在琴房里面教琴，而不是在这边让孩子泼那么多水在你的身上。所以我真的很佩服他的身段。 然后到信望爱南红之家对我们来讲又是一个巨人。信望啊，那个学员是更新团契办，你知道更新团契是专门探访监牢的，所以你大概知道有一点关系。之前我们的团队因为一个礼拜很忙碌的工作，我们已经非常疲累，疲累就是我们团队会献出的破口。迪维娜在教孩子们一个叫破狗的游戏，就是放十几个垫子，上面都只能站一个人，然后只留了一个空的垫子。 然后那个上面不站人，当敌人来攻的时候，他就要探敌人甲能够先站到那个垫子，那这个整个团队就输了。所以当你看到敌人来攻的时候，你就赶快抢着去守护那个破口。当你去抢着去守护那破口的时候，你的位置也出现了破口，所以就看你们团队怎么样子来合作。所以当一个礼拜后，我们的团队我也看到了破口，可能因为疲累有点，也一点沮丧了，所以我们就开始出现有一点指责。我也看到大家在哭泣或什么，所以到了期望啊，男孩之家的那天晚上，情形也没有改善。我真的觉得那时候对我来讲黑暗的全是很大。如果允许我的话，我真是会坐在那里大哭。但是借着祷告，我们的悔改，我们真的是再一次经历神的怜悯和平安，真的是虽有一宿的哭泣，早晨必欢呼歌唱。而且在圣灵的光照下，我看到真是我们肉体的软弱。 我们只是一群罪人来到另一群罪人当中，跌倒过你才知道跌倒，失败过你才知道什么失败。连我的儿子 Timothy 都说，我现在可以认同这些男孩，我和他们一样，只是我比较 lucky， 他们不 lucky。我和 Rosemary 被分到国小组，我心里还在想说国小生已经最好带了，谁知不然。 当我要讲宣教士的故事的时候，他们已经吵翻天了，执掌着说我不要听圣经故事。我的小本圣经也被他们丢到空中都摔坏了。哇！我就拍了我旁边的一个小男孩，我只是轻轻拍他一下，意思是打招呼，啪啪啪，两下就狠狠打回来了。我就告诉他说，老师只是轻拍你了，是和你打招呼。我又示范一遍，摸他一下，再摸一下，啪啪啪，就两下又打回来了。 他其实心里这里面年龄最小的，真的是你就看他满脸的戾气，讲的话也常常带着脏话，然后这些孩子在互动的时候常讲的话我打死你，你就很心疼到底发生什么事情在这些孩子身上会造成这样。当然故事讲不下去了，我们就只好 plan two 了，我们就玩起了乌龙。第二天我就学聪明点了，不要跟他们坐在一起，我就坐到桌子的这一边。 然后一边玩的时候，你马上就发现有一只脚从桌子的下面又来踢你，所以你一边要跟他们玩牌的时候，台面上玩牌，台下还要攻防战，还是被踢了好几脚。最后没法了，我只好收起很慈爱的面孔，我就给他警告了，就说不可以这样。 Carissa 还找来了我儿子，要跟他谈话，叫他要好好的玩。然后 Carissa 也跟他谈话，最后我就问 Carissa 说：“那你跟他谈话结果怎么样？”他说他非常的生气。 那午餐以后，我们就上楼了。这孩子正在洗脸，他一看到我来了，马上拿着湿毛巾向我冲过来，就把那湿毛巾向我一甩。我说：“你真是会欺负老师为乐。”他笑着就跑掉了。我想他是最小的，没有人可以欺负，好不容易发现有人欺负了，真是他觉得很开心。<笑>下午的时候是户外活动，就像刚才 Timothy 讲的，一直都在下雨。第一天我们要出去的时候，就开始下雨，并没有拦住我们出去。 Timothy 和 Steven 和男孩子打篮球，你刚才也听到他的 Sherry， 然后我们带了从美国带的那个直排轮，就是那 rollerblade， 然后还有玩飞盘，然后我们这班的孩子是最小的，所以他们大多去玩直排轮，我们是在马路上玩，而且是在湿的马路上玩。后来你要是不太会滑，你真是会摔跤的。过了一阵子，我就发现了一个很美的景象，我们的老师在前面带。 小孩是抱着老师，扶着老师，然后就好像母鸡带小鸡，带着两个孩子这样子一边滑，然后就这样在雨天当中。我跟你讲，不是十分钟，不是二十分钟，是两个小时。所以在这个时候，我真的是觉得天堂在这里，冰也化了，巨人也没了。我看到是一个个需要关心的小孩。 也看到为什么我们这些教会的第二代，他们是要如此的辛劳，要站在那个破口，尽自己一份微薄的力量来堵住这个破口，也给这些孩子关心。我想这些的辛劳也是蒙神的悦纳。
Hi everyone, I'm Rosemary. Can you hear me? Okay, so when I first heard about this mission trip, I was really excited and I really, really wanted to go. And then when Auntie Julie told me that we were using last year's CYA curriculum, I felt like I was ready and all I had to do was translate it into Chinese. And strangely, like, I didn't think it would be that hard. And so I went to China a month before the mission trip, and I felt really eager for this. But then when we got to Hualien and we started preparing and we completely reorganized all our teaching material, we changed the songs and we changed the schedule, and I was kind of like, inside, like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And like, I really like structure and organization and knowing what I'm going to say before I go up there in front of the kids. But this, I guess the style of teaching these kids is more of being flexible and improvising right on the spot. And so the first day when we started teaching, I was really scared. And even though I think the first day I didn't really teach that much, but I was still scared because I didn't know how we were going to get through this, and I felt like everything was really disorganized. But then, strangely, at Hongye, Stephen was trying to explain the memory verse game, and for some reason, like, I volunteered and I went up there and I explained it, and I had not practiced before, and it was all God, because I can't even remember how I explained it now. And, like, I don't even know where those words came from. And so I think it just showed me, like, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And so God, I think God was, he was telling me that, like, even though, like, I feel like I can't do this, but when I am weak, then it's when his power can come through and he can be glorified. And also, God gave me so much more grace. I guess, like you just heard from Auntie Pearl, at the Faith, Love, Hope Boys Home, we had the elementary school kids. And the first day, I found that I only had 3 students. And so I thought, I can do this. There's only 3 of them. No. Like, Auntie Pearl started teaching the story, and I made them sit in the desk. And so they sat down, but then, like, we weren't even done with the first page of the picture of the story. And then the littlest kid, his name is Lin Shenxiang, and he jumped off the desk, grabbed a couch pillow, and he threw it. And everyone else then just started moving around the room, and they were literally, like, jumping off the walls. And so I decided, okay, this isn't going to work. So I decided to play a game with them, and it was sort of a get-to-know-you game where we passed the ball around. And the ball had little suction cups all around it, so it sticks to the wall. And I didn't tell them that, but then they threw it really high and it got stuck on the ceiling. And so then 2 of them ran out of the room. They're like, 我们可以帮你拿下来. They ran out of the room, came back with pillows, and started throwing it everywhere. And the pillows were working, so they grabbed Auntie Pearl's Bible and her glasses case and threw it too. And it was so crazy. And so we finally, they got it down, and I made them sit down, and we just played Uno, because and so I thank God that I survived that first hour and a half with them. And then later that day, we had playtime, and surprisingly, Lin Shenxiang, like, I thought he didn't like me, or he just didn't like any of us, but he wanted me to play with him because he wanted to rollerblade, but I think he was scared of falling. So I was pulling him around for 2 hours. And so I thought, okay, tomorrow maybe he'll be better since I played with him and kind of got to know him. The next day, it was crazy. So instead of starting with a story, I decided to switch it up and give them some crafts to do, so then they have something to do with their hands. And so we were making wordless book bracelets. And the other kids were surprisingly much better today, and they're willing to sit down and cooperate. But he just could not sit still, and he took the bead box, and he dumped out, like, half of it. It was, like, all scattered, and then he ran out of the room. And so I went after him, and thinking back, God really gave me lots of patience, because I feel like often at home, like, I yell too easily at Samuel. And so he ran out, and somehow, like, I didn't even feel like yelling. I just told him, you know what, I would like you to, you know, work with us, and I would like to teach you. Or so you can either go back in and sit down, and we can, like, make a bracelet together, or I can go get your teacher. And so he like, didn't say anything. He just, like, ran back in. And then I went after him, and he locked me out of the room. And so, like, okay. And then one of the older kids let me back in the room, and I thought he was, like, he would be in there kicking Auntie Pearl or something. But I think he was over there, and he was, like, he was making a bracelet. And so I just went over, and I did crafts with some of the other boys instead. And later he came up to me, and he's like, "对不起, 老师." And I think at that moment, I was so thankful that God helped me and gave me patience, like, not to yell right at him, because I think he's used to people yelling at him and used to people, like, you know, like, and that's why he has such a hard exterior and stuff. But inside, he really wants to be loved, and he really wants to be accepted. And so, and then another boy, Oliver, we were playing Uno later, and he kept saying a bad word, and so I told him not to. And the first day when I did that, he just cussed at me. I was like, okay. And then, but the second day, he's like, "Oh, sorry, I forgot." And then he said again, and I reminded him, and it was really strange, and I felt like it was like God was showing me, even though I feel like I'm failing or they're not listening to me at all or it's just a waste of time, but it's not, and that God can be using me in ways I don't even know. And so I'd like to praise God, and I want to thank all of you for your prayers, and thank God for a wonderful experience that he gave me. Thank you.
Hello. Since we're a little short on time, I'll just read Katie's sharing. She has been in Taiwan for 2 years, and she was with us. She's with us for most of the missions trip. To the church family at GKCCCC, Ping An, what an experience and blessing it was to meet and work with a group from Kansas City this past July. God really revealed more of himself to me and challenged me concerning my relationships with others during this trip. I was involved in the preparations on the Taiwan side of things, and I guess in the busyness of it, I lost focus of what the trip was really about: people and caring, reaching out to others' needs, showing Jesus' love. When the team arrived, I was ready to get down to business. There were English lessons to be reviewed, logistics and schedules to be planned, things to do, and mayhem to cause. After all, this was a mission, and what is a mission but a list of tasks to be done, right? Yeah, well, anyways, my get-it-done attitude was not helping with the unity aspect of things at all. I was downright insensitive. But God mercifully, graciously, through his word, a couple of teammates, and unfortunately an argument, showed me that I was having a Martha attitude, busy about things and not seeing the relationships. Wow, that stung. I was working so hard, but for what? My own sense of accomplishment? To check off a to-do list? Out of pride? God changed my perspective. This was about people and showing people Christ's love. What had become routine to me suddenly had a new meaning, a new focus and purpose. I began to see what I had been missing out on, the friendships, the blessing of spending time getting to know other brothers and sisters in Christ, learning from the different perspective on the ministries that they each brought. I was humbled as I saw the different strengths that each teammate contributed to the group. Timo's passion to be effective and reach the kids' needs, Auntie Pearl's thoughtful, caring gestures, Rosemary's humble, serving attitude, and wow, a girl after my own heart, she likes bugs. Jennifer's lightheartedness, Stephen's ability to really connect with the other boys, Uncle Emil's wisdom, and Kelly's ability to make split-second decisions about where to get the food. I mean, Kelly's easygoing willingness to serve in whatever way he could. I thank God for the unique opportunity I had to get to know each of you and serve him with you. Thank you, team, for sacrificing, for serving, for pouring into the students' lives and mine. Your lives have changed mine and many others. May God continue to use you and bless you with an ever-growing passion and vision for serving him, to strengthen you according to his glorious power, and to pour out his grace upon you as you reach out to others with Jesus' love.
I want to apologize that we already gone over time. We actually had more sharing, but we're going to hold off till next week. So basically, Carissa, Davina had not shared yet, and I still have a few slides to share. So we're not going to do it today, so we're going to pretty much push it to next week if possible. I don't know if next week we have time or not. I think we're going to have a song that we're going to go ahead and dedicate. We prepare a song from the team that's our response to the calling that God had called us to. So we're going to have that, and then we will finish up with
it's the last song. I know we don't have time, and I'm not going to share. Mine would take a long time. But this song is called Yisen. Oh, you should take that. The song is called Yisen Geng Sui Ni, and we don't have the English. There's actually English words. I'm really sorry. I forgot to put it on. But it means a heart after you, and the song is basically God has given us a call to be part of his work. And we can choose how we want to live our lives, but he's given us a call to be part of winning his kingdom. And I just, in a sentence, can say, like, answering his call is more than worth it. You think you're going to do things and serve, but God pours so much into you. And I've already been in Taiwan for 3 years, going back for a fourth. I don't know how much longer, I don't know. I'll take it a step at a time. This is God's call. We're going to sing this song, and then the second time, everyone can sing it with us. You can control just two pages, we'll go back and forth.
就赐给我清洁的心，紧紧跟随你，我渴慕更深爱你。
Really true, it's because God loved us first that we're able to do anything and love him.
跟随你的脚步，活出你对我呼召，每一天带领我，更多亲近你。 我愿这一生更像你，就与我同行，引导我生命。
as to say, when God calls us and when we answer His call, the first thing He always does is to work in our own hearts. He wants to make us more like Him. And He starts, whether it's through difficult times, refining us through fire, or just through people around us and encouragement, God starts working in our hearts. And so I just want to encourage everyone, like, His call is sometimes very quiet, and sometimes you don't even know He calls you. Like, I went to Taiwan, I knew He was calling me to Taiwan, but it was more just like one step at a time. I didn't feel a really strong call or anything, but just obeying. And as we are willing, 我愿意我一生跟随你, to be willing to follow Him with our lives, with our hearts, to give Him our lives. Maybe it's just to do things right where you are. It will be to do things right where you are, wherever you are. Or maybe it is to go somewhere. But as we follow His call, God always pours in. So let's everyone, let's all sing it together. 求赐给我 Just because I feel like just because I'm in Taiwan doesn't mean I already answer God's call. It's not a past tense thing. It's a constant, everyday thing. Whether we are still very young, or whether we're parents, or whether we're elderly, our Lord has given us a call to follow Him every single day, and He gives us what we need to answer. So I'm going to share today. And I give the time over to Uncle Hannah.
我们的主，我们的神，我们来到你的面前，唯独要赞美你，敬拜你，因为你是神，唯独你是神，配得我们敬拜，配得我们赞美的。我们感谢你，主啊，你实在是做工的主。
做工在我们的当中，做工在我们的心内。你也是听祷告的主，虽然你是听我们有声无声的祷告，无论我们是欢笑的祷告、眼泪的祷告，你都乐意垂听。我们更是感谢你，你是与我们同在的主。 我们无论到哪里去，我们是在家中，是出外，是在教会的里面，
是离开教会出去为你传美好的福音，你都与我们同在。我们更是感谢你，你是引导我们的主。我们有时候不知道我们如何的行，我们不知道如何的走哪一条路，但是若是我们诚心的谦卑在你的面前，你总是借助你的话，借助你的圣灵，向我们内心指示我们，也借助教会众圣徒引导我们的路。主啊，我们真是感谢你，在我们这年轻的弟兄姊妹的当中，动你的善意，也是完成你的工作，叫我们因信心所做的功夫，因爱心所受的劳苦，因盼望所存的忍耐。我们在你的面前恳求继续的在我们当中做复兴的工作，做感动的工作，所以做成我们愿意谦卑顺服服服在你的面前，愿意一生的跟随你，愿意一生的奉献我们自己，活着为你，活着像你，我们也活着真是见证你的荣耀。我们求主继续的祝福为你劳苦的这许多的弟兄姊妹，我们求你继续的祝福这些年轻人若意遵从你的话，更多的认识你，更多的亲近你，更多奉献自己为你，更多一生的跟随你到底。我们求求祝福你的教会，祝福你的圣工，好让在这些年间能够宣扬你的名，荣耀你的名，也叫你的名在我们的当中被高举，得着的荣耀。但愿我主耶稣基督的恩典，天父的慈爱，圣灵的交通感动，常与众圣徒同在，直到永远。阿门。